This is Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, your daily voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. And now, here's your host, Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
This is Evan Fowler with Bot Radio Network filling in for Tony Perkins today. Some of you, maybe one or two, have been wondering where I went, where I've been. Well, I've been doing my job here at Bot Radio Network every day as Director of Operations. So that keeps me pretty busy, but once in a while I have the wonderful opportunity to sit in for Tony, and that's what we're doing on this Sunday afternoon, this Friday afternoon. It's not Sunday yet. It'll get here soon enough. So glad you're here listening with us. We've got a great program today. Every day, great content in Washington Watch. And one of the first things we're going to be talking about is an update on what is indeed going on in Washington, D.C. That's always part of the program. You know, you would think to watch most of the mainstream media that the only thing going on was a Russia collusion investigation or some kind of obstruction of justice thing, because that's really all these people talk about. There's a lot more going on. We can be very thankful for that, and we're going to be talking with someone who can bring us up to date on that in just a couple of minutes. In our second segment, we're going to be talking with Forrest Thigpen. He is the president of the Mississippi Center for Public Policy. We'll be talking about some legislation that has just passed in that state, which protects Christians in business and government from being forced to do things that violate their religious beliefs. You know, there's been a lot of that stuff going around recently. And then the last half of the program is going to be great. You will not want to miss it. We're going to be telling you a story about something that happened to a pregnancy resource center. As a matter of fact, it happened right here in the Kansas City area, which is where I'm talking to you from. And kind of a rare situation, we're going to have the guest in studio with me, because this is a local story. It's one that might make your blood boil just a little bit. We're going to be talking about how Planned Parenthood used their sort of bullying to get this Crisis Pregnancy Center or Pregnancy Resource Center forced off the air on a local radio station where they were just trying to do some advertising to let that station's listeners know about the services they provide. And we'll have the Executive Director of Advice and Aid Pregnancy Resource Center sitting here with me in the studio to talk about that, to kind of give you a sense of some of the things that are going on, the abortion crowd, Planned Parenthood, NARAL, and others, and how they're trying to go after these pregnancy resource centers, because they're actually doing some good stuff. And then we're going to learn more about what the PRCs do and the great things that they do, and give you an opportunity to think about how you might be able to help out. Well, up to our first topic. If you listen to the mainstream media, one would think the only thing happening in Washington, D.C. is the investigation into Russia's alleged interference in the 2016 United States election. But that's far from true. Here to talk about important legislative advances and the undoing of Obama-era policies is Congressman Warren Davidson. He represents the 8th District of Ohio and serves on the prestigious House Financial Services Committee. He's a member of the House Freedom Caucus and is a veteran, having served as an Army Ranger and graduate of West Point. Congressman, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thanks. Nice to talk with you.
Well, we're going to try to cover a lot of territory in a short amount of time because, as you probably well know, there's a lot of stuff going on in D.C. besides the Russian investigation. And that's why you're here, to tell us about some of the good things that are going on that really are sort of helping dig us out of what happened during the last 8 years. I'm going to just sort of open it up to you. And just tell our listeners some of the great things that you're seeing going on, and I would say kind of behind the scenes, because if you watch the mainstream media, CNN, et cetera, the stories that are coming out of there really aren't telling you what's going on. So go ahead and give us a little bit of background on what you're seeing.
Yeah, thanks for the open time. I came in last summer, so in a special election, just like we've watched a couple special elections here. Though thankfully ours wasn't as contested, no record-breaking donations by Democrats in the race. But try as they may, they haven't really chinked the agenda. We're winning these special elections. Karen Handel, Ralph Norman are supposed to swear in next week. Met our new colleague from Montana this week, and so we're filling the seats, and we're filling them with fellow Republicans that left. And why is that important? Well, we're staying on the agenda, and the agenda has been to roll back all this governing by cell phone and pen that President Obama did. We've done 14 congressional review acts that peeled back some of the regulatory state, and that puts an end to the regulatory agencies doing that period without a law from Congress in the future. We need to do that. The Choice Act is something that you haven't heard a lot about, but that rolls back Dodd-Frank. Dodd-Frank was targeted at big banks that were too big to fail, and it had more regulations in it alone than all the other Obama regs. So that's kind of the big thing.
Well, you know, we have heard some about the Choice Act, and tell us a little bit more about some of the benefits of rolling that thing back. The Dodd-Frank, that is.
Yeah, rolling back Dodd-Frank, and when you look at 1,900 community banks gone, so small and regional banks are getting treated as if they're Goldman Sachs and J.P. Morgan Chase. Meanwhile, those CEOs are out there saying how good Dodd-Frank has been for their businesses. It's created a bigger protective moat, and that's generally the theme of this regulatory state. It creates deal flow for Democrats, and it creates barriers to small businesses trying to scale up. It hurts entrepreneurs, it hurts capital formation, it hurts farmers, because it treats working capital differently. So it's been hard. This week we did a good thing. President Trump signed, finally, the VA Accountability Act. This has taken the Senate a long time to get around to, but the House has passed it multiple times, and finally the Senate passed it about a week or two ago. And this week the President signed the VA Accountability Act. This is going to help our Secretary, Shulkin, do some really important reforms to help get the culture on track in the VA. That's a big win. We focused this week on renewal of Perkins loans. These are skilled trades type training and education to kind of get America working again. So workforce participation just took a beating under President Obama, down to record low levels for men. We've got to get labor participation up. And meanwhile, we've spent more on welfare and means-tested programs, and it's crowding out participation in the workforce. And there's a lot of dignity in work. God created us to do it. And this week we had some good wins on that.
Absolutely. Yeah, I want to jump back to that Choice Act just for a second, because you mentioned something. In fact, I read an article about that in the last week, and it seems counterintuitive that the big banks, the big organizations that would be impacted by regulatory stuff coming out like Dodd-Frank, you would think that because of the costs of complying that they would not like it. But I think the point you made was that they do like it because they can afford to hire all of the accountants and lawyers to deal with those regulations, while the little guys, the small community banks, can't. Isn't that right?
That's exactly it. It costs roughly the same amount to comply with all the regs for a small bank as a big bank, especially the way they're treating them. And there's no real distinction. And then when there are distinctions, it's at artificial valuations, and applying a lot of international law, trying to align us with an international framework, which drives competition further for these small banks.
That's right. Well, and then you talked about the VA Accountability Act. Now, one of the things I think many of us have heard in the news is when talking about the failures of the VA, and I'm sure the VA does a lot of good work, but there have been some significant problems that have developed. And one of them stems from not being able to get rid of people who are not doing their job. Does this Accountability Act make it easier for the person in charge of that part of the government to kind of clean house where a house needs to be cleaned?
That's exactly the objective there. And, of course, you want to take care of people. You want to, create a great place to work. That's not about destroying the workplace. This is the opposite. You've got a case where I was talking from Alabama, and she had in the VA center where she was at a VA caseworker who took a veteran to a crack house to treat PTSD and was not terminated, could not get rid of him. So, you get extreme violations like this of decorum where there's just no way anyone in a normal job would keep their job. But in the VA, it's been almost impossible to do that. And when you have that kind of stuff tolerated and accepted, changing the culture to be one that is there for the veteran, not for the workforce, is very hard. And that's when I met with Secretary McDonald back last summer. and talked with other folks in the VA today. These are tools that are actually going to help people that want to lead in the right direction lead.
Well, you know, it makes a lot of sense. And what just made absolutely no sense was what you were talking about, and that is when you have somebody who just is egregiously unable to do their job, not being able to just say, look, you know, either straighten out, fly right, or you're gone. But that, I mean, as it is the case with private businesses. So glad to hear that we're moving along there. Another thing I heard, too, was that the EPA is, through attrition, going to lose a lot of people, just people who are leaving. They're not going to backfill those posts. Tell us what's going on there.
Well, one of the things, and this is the EPA talking with Secretary Zinke over at the Department of the Interior, you know, related with Fish and Wildlife. Some of the challenges in dealing with the regulatory framework is personnel, and the workforce is aging, and they're just not filling a lot of those open positions. They're going to work to restructure their whole organizations. This is something that's happening largely across the executive branch. And this is also reflected in the budget. We're not going to need as many people. We're going to work more efficiently. And that's not to say, hey, we don't value, you know, the environment, or we don't value the national parks or nature. You just don't need to do it the way that it was being done under the Obama administration.
Right. Well, in fact, I listened to a little bit of the speech that President Trump gave in Grand Rapids, Iowa. I think it was a couple of days ago. And he was talking about the changes in the EPA. And he said, you know, we're all in favor of clean air and clean, clear, beautiful water, which is one of his favorite words, is beautiful. So, you know, I think everybody agrees with that. It's just that some of the egregious regulatory stuff that the EPA was imposing just wasn't cutting it. Well, before we run out of time, I want you to talk about something called the Fair Representation Amendment. I believe it's something that you introduced. Tell us what that is.
Well, right now, the census counts total population, and that would include people that are here illegally. So the net effect of that is states that create sanctuaries for people to come here illegally drive up their populations, and that inflates their representation in Congress. It inflates their influence in the Electoral College when we vote for president. So, the net effect then is for states that don't do that, their citizens have their votes diluted. So most folks say California's, based on their illegal population, would have 5 to 7 more electoral votes than they, 55. They would go down to 48. And the same as, members of Congress. They'd get more members of Congress than they would have if they could only count citizens. Only citizens can vote, and the point of this is to align that in representation in Congress and therefore in the Electoral College.
Well, and then again, I read something about some information that's come out that, the president was saying that there may have been a lot of votes that were cast not in his favor by people who shouldn't be casting votes. And people laughed at him, but there's a study or a couple of studies that have come out showing that there may be some truth to that. So in about the last 20 seconds, what do you think about that?
Well, it's a separate issue, but certainly of concern. And, a separate thing to consider would be photo ID required in order to vote.
Great. Well, we've run out of time. Congressman Warren Davidson, thank you so much for the work that you're doing in Congress and keeping things moving. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Well, coming up next, the U.S. Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals has ruled in favor of religious freedom in Mississippi, which allows merchants and government employees to protect their religious beliefs. Stick with us here on Washington Watch.
Imagine being threatened by the government for reading a magazine article. This is exactly what Don Vanderboon, owner of the West Michigan Beef Company, experienced when USDA inspectors threatened to shut down his operation because of reading material that they found in his company break room, which defended biblical marriage. Mr. Vanderboon's employees were well aware of the material and of the company's publicly stated Christian principles and had no objections. As we all know, religious liberty is an indelible thread woven into the fabric of America. Without it, the American experiment will fail. Yet time and time again, the freedom of Americans to believe and live out those beliefs has been attacked by government action. Now more than ever, our first freedom of religious liberty needs protection. Watch a special program hosted by FRC President Tony Perkins, where you'll hear from real people whose freedom to believe has been affected in real ways, including Mr. Vanderboon himself. Go to frc.org/believe to watch this special presentation.
Your mission is to find Granny and get that sauce.
Affirmative.
1 million moms, in association with American Family Studios, introduces Ryan DeFrady's Secret Agent.
I'm Ryan DeFrady's. I work alone.
Ryan is arrogant and reckless until the day he's paired with a very unlikely partner.
No way! I can do this alone, without anyone's help, much less my mom's.
Look, Ryan.
She's my mom!
Ryan DeFrady's Secret Agent is the new action-adventure series featuring a young spy with a whole lot to learn.
Mama's coming, sweetie!
She's an agent! Get her, boys!
Each exciting, fun-filled episode teaches children important values, like honoring parents and respecting authority. And there's a brief wrap-up at the end that connects the story to a biblical illustration. Ryan DeFrady's Secret Agent. Perfect for children ages 6 and over. Order yours today at ryansecretagent.com.
We're in the financial business. We manage a couple of trusts and some estates and, of course, our own monies, too.
Courtney Trotter talks about the charitable gift annuity from the AFA Foundation.
I understand annuities about as much as anyone, I guess, can. So I just felt the charitable gift annuity was a win-win situation for many people that still are generating income and still have assets, because you never know when you may have to draw down on something like that. And if you don't ever have to, then it's even a better gift to get to a really good foundation like AFA, a very solid investment, a good way to help do the Lord's work. And it's there to help us as well.
Find out if the charitable gift annuity can work for you by calling the AFA Foundation at 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. Eben Fowler sitting in today for Tony Perkins here in Kansas City. Well, the Protecting Freedom of Conscience from Religious Discrimination Act, it's an act with a long name, is now the law of the land in the state of Mississippi. This after the 5th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals reversed the 2016 injunction that prevented House Bill 1523 from becoming law last July. There won't be a test on that. We're going to tell you more about it right here coming up shortly. This law protects people of faith, including Christians, from being forced to participate in a same-sex wedding ceremony, among other issues that law addresses. And to help us understand what the law addresses is Forrest Thigpen. He's the president of the Mississippi Center for Public Policy. Forrest, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you, Evan.
All right. Well, tell us, I kind of went through the name of the thing and appeals and House bill. Simplify that for us and tell us effectively what this does for the residents of Mississippi.
It really just prevents the government from discriminating against people who have sincerely held beliefs that marriage is between a man and a woman, that gender is determined at birth, it prevents the government from being able to discriminate against them by changing or challenging their tax status or by fining them or by withholding permits or occupational licensing. That really is aimed at keeping the government from punishing people for acting on their beliefs about marriage.
So is it a situation like, and I think it was the couple in Oregon who had a bakery, a husband and wife, who had, as a client, they had a homosexual man who then came in and said, I want you to bake a cake for my wedding, and then they found out he was going to marry another man. And then all kinds of stuff happened. They were fined. I believe they maybe even lost their business. Is it a situation like that that this law protects people from?
That was much of the inspiration for the bill, is to make sure that that doesn't happen in Mississippi. And you're right. There are businesses in a number of states that have been fined or shut down because they wouldn't participate in a same-sex wedding ceremony. And it, just think about this now. There are people who consider a wedding as an act of worship. And so for the government to force a florist or a photographer to or a baker to do things, to bake a cake, to photograph the wedding, to prepare flowers, to celebrate an act of worship that violates their own beliefs. That's what the pressure is. And so this law is intended to protect those business owners from having to participate in an act of worship that they think does violate their beliefs.
So from the kind of lead-in information that I read, it appears that the original bill was passed somewhere prior to 2016 and that there was a challenge to it, an injunction. Tell us about who filed that injunction and kind of what the process was getting back to now that I guess the injunction has been overturned.
That's right. Yeah, the law was passed last April, signed into law by Governor Bryant last year, 2016. And it was due to go into effect July 1st, and just a few minutes before midnight, when it was going to go into effect, a U.S. district judge in Jackson issued the injunction based on a lawsuit that had been brought by several organizations representing either homosexual couples or organizations that disagreed with the purpose of the bill. The Attorney General of Mississippi refused to represent the state in the appeal, and so Governor Bryant engaged the Alliance Defending Freedom and Jonathan Williams, a noted constitutional lawyer, to represent him before the Fifth Circuit in the appeal. They asked for a stay of the district court ruling, and that was denied. They asked for expedited appeal. The Fifth Circuit denied that. So the law was prevented from going into effect.
Right.
And so the ruling yesterday was a three-judge panel of the Fifth Circuit who did not rule on the merits of the issue. They simply said that the plaintiffs did not have standing. They didn't have the right to come before the court to challenge the law because they have not been harmed by the law, because it hasn't gone into effect yet. So they limited their ruling to whether the plaintiffs had standing, and since the plaintiffs did not have standing, then the Fifth Circuit panel reversed the injunction, and so now the law is in effect.
It's in effect. But does that perhaps leave the door open for somebody challenging it again? Essentially, now that the law is in effect, then some of these people may think they have standing.
That's right. Yeah, that is certain to happen. And whether it's actual or manufactured harm that they will claim, there's no doubt that they will be filing suits in the future. Challenging the law, and the courts may strike down part of the law, they may strike down all of the law, or they may let it stand. And the plaintiffs in this case, or the legal organizations representing them, have said that they will appeal this decision by this three-judge panel,
either
to the full Fifth Circuit or to the U.S. Supreme Court. So it's certainly not, the battle is certainly not over, as we know, even on this case.
Well, so in about a minute, tell us essentially what the bill says and how it impacts the situations we've been talking about. So just about a minute.
Yeah. It protects private businesses from government action against them if they refuse to participate in wedding-related activity. It also has a provision that allows county officials to find someone else in the office to issue a marriage license. And it protects Catholic charities and other adoption agencies and schools from being discriminated against if they have if they define male and female genders, if they have housing requirements on their college campus for married couples and keep that to heterosexual marriages. So it protects a wide variety of Mississippians.
Very good. Well, Forrest Thigpen, president of the Mississippi Center for Public Policy, thanks for stopping by and updating us on what's going on in your state.
Thank you, Evan.
Well, coming up next, a Kansas City radio station canceled a pro-life group's advertising campaign. Ruth Tisdale, executive director of Advice and Aid Pregnancy Centers, will explain after the break. We'll also, and she's going to stay with us for the rest of the program, and we'll have an opportunity for you to call in and talk with us about this topic.
Making the most of your money, here's Dan Celia.
Apparently, our legislators are contemplating staying in Washington, D.C. They actually are thinking about getting some of the legislative agenda through. Remember, we've got budget reconciliation to negotiate and to get done. We have a debt ceiling that we are coming up against as well. Certainly, there is Obamacare replace and repeal. There is a potential for an infrastructure project and legislation. And let's not forget the most important of all, which would be tax reform. Now, many are saying that the recess is so they can go home and work hard with their constituency. But I believe that their constituency would like them to work hard for them and America by staying in Washington and getting something done. After all, doesn't working hard for your constituents mean doing something that is good for them, is going to help them manage their families, help them get jobs, help them get pay raises? I don't believe that they are going to make a lot of headway on those core economic issues by being home. They're going to have to stay in Washington and work through some legislative processes, tax reform, infrastructure, and other things to really help their constituents.
Experience Dan Celia in person. Find a faith, family, and finance town hall meeting or seminar near you at afafoundation.net.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. Eben Fowler sitting in today for Tony Perkins, and we are so glad you're listening on this Friday afternoon. Well, the next half hour or so, we're going to be learning a lot about pregnancy resource centers. We're also going to be learning a lot about what Planned Parenthood and the NARAL gang and others say, and may I say the word is lie, when they're talking about pregnancy resource centers. Sitting across the table from me in the studio today is Ruth Tisdale. Ruth is the executive director of Advice and Aid Pregnancy Centers, which is based here in Overland Park, Kansas. And full disclosure, I'm on the board of directors and get to work with Ruth in the great work that she and her staff are involved in. And that's why this topic is on the broadcast, because I thought it was important enough for you, our listeners, to learn about this. And so we're going to try to cover a couple of things in this discussion. First of all, I want you to understand what Planned Parenthood and their ilk are saying about pregnancy resource centers. Some folks use the term crisis pregnancy centers. It's sort of interchangeable. And then we want you to understand what pregnancy resource centers are all about and the wonderful work that they do. And we're going to stick with this through the top of the hour. So, Ruth, welcome so much.
Thank you, Evan, for having me today.
Well, I think the first thing we want to do is just let you, in this first segment, tell the story of what happened. So what happened?
Great. Thank you. Back in May, we were approached by a local radio station. We had a salesperson come and share with us that she felt that their audience was the type of audience that needed to hear what kind of services we offered.
Mm-hmm.
One of the words that she said was, we're an alternative radio station.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're looking for conservative, we're not it. But I believe that the women that listen to our radio station who are potentially in those reproductive years need to hear that there are other options out there. The really interesting thing about this was that She did a lot of homework on our website. She came with her her boss. They spent some time with us learning about our organization, who we were, who we are not, what we do, what we do not do, why we're located, where we are located, and all those kind of things. And I believe they left with a really good grasp of who Advice and Aid is.
So they knew who you were and what you do.
Yes, and very important, again, I want to mention this, they reached out to us because they believed that their audience needed to hear that there were alternatives out there for
interesting,
them.
Interesting, interesting.
Yes. So, you know, what they wanted to do with us was bigger than our budget allowed for a project like this. And so they came up, they offered us a certain amount of ads over a six-week period over the weekends. And I remember listening to them the first weekend that they ran. I was pretty excited. Well, a couple of days later, we received a call letting us know that they had received, the radio station had received a lot of negative backlash on social media for running our ads. And then later on, we learned that actually one of the Planned Parenthood staff members had gone on one of their hours with one of their radio personalities and talked about all these things about Advice and Aid that we are not. And we requested to have the opportunity to be on the radio and explain. Actually, those were not true statements. That was misinformation. This is who we are. This is what we do. We did not hear back on that. We also requested that the actual radio personality would come and visit our center and see for himself who we were. We did not receive a mm-hmm. response from that. So it's been a difficult time for the organization, but it's been.
And let me ask you now, and I'm not sure if you may have mentioned it, but the radio station pulled the ad campaign.
Yes, they did. They felt like it was just going to continue to be negative. They offered us to go in a different radio station within their organization, but we believe that the audience that needed to hear our services was not necessarily more the conservative part of their stations, but this alternative audience.
Well, the sales rep came to you and actually told you that. I mean,
yes.
she knew that based on what she had learned and on certainly understanding the audience that her station has. That it would be a good fit. So then they want to shuffle you off to another station where there wouldn't be as much controversy, I guess.
That's correct.
Well, how about that? So you talked about misinformation, and after the break, because we're coming up on a break here in about a minute and a half, and we're going to play some of the audio from the conversation. It was a podcast that was done between the host of the program and this person from Planned Parenthood who, by the way, as you said, she ginned up the opposition. Maybe one of their listeners would have gotten on their social media, their Facebook or their Twitter account or whatever, and would have said something negative about you. But in this case, it was a Planned Parenthood lady who decided that she was going to jump in there and intervene, right?
Apparently, that's what happened. And one of the things was some tweets that went out encouraging the radio station to stop the ads. Because Advice and Aid lied to women, and then it went on to the point where they actually were part of this podcast where they went on for many minutes discussing who Advice and Aid was not.
And we're going to hear some of that audio here after the break so that you can hear just exactly what it is that that the abortion crowd says about pregnancy resource centers. And they do it, really, I think, because pregnancy resource centers are a threat, and it's because PRCs provide the truth. They provide a life alternative. Right, Ruth?
I agree. And we are making a difference in the lives of many women.
That's what you're all about. And we're going to learn more about how you do that. And you're sort of the composite of pregnancy resource centers across the country. We're going to encourage our listeners to call in and chat with us a little bit. So we'll be coming back in just a couple of minutes here on Washington Watch.
A boat ride on the Sea of Galilee. Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman with American Family Association and American Family Radio. That is a highlight of our tour of the Holy Land when we go on the boat ride on the Sea of Galilee. A special time to be on the very water where Jesus walked, where he spent time with his disciples, and you know, in fact, you're the place where Jesus was. So many sites we're going to see in the Holy Land that are just like that. We know Jesus was here. The trip is in March, March 8th through the 16th, and we'd love for you to come with us. So many places we're going to see, you've read about since you were a child. For more information, go to the website twholyland.com. That's twholyland.com. If you want a brochure sent to you in the mail, just call us at 800-FAMILIES, F-A-M-I-L-I-E-S, extension 5.
Physicians keep learning after medical school in order to better save lives. Shouldn't Christian leaders keep learning to better save souls? Hi, I'm Dr. John Nyhoff, president of Wesley Biblical Seminary in Jackson, Mississippi, and online around the world. Are you a Christian leader who thinks it's important to keep learning? WBS online weekend and evening classes allow graduate students to become better equipped to make disciples in a constantly changing world. For more information, visit wbs.edu.
Worldviews. Everyone has one. The question is, where did yours come from? Dive into this month's edition of the AFA Journal and find tools like a worldview self-examination to learn more about your own worldview and how it aligns with what God's Word has to say about the world around us. Explore current issues through a Christian perspective and find new ways to be a light for God in a fallen world. All this and more in the June edition of the AFA Journal. Start your subscription today or read online at afajournal.org.
Steve Tiber of 8 Days of Hope.
Our great country continues to get slammed by natural disasters, hurricanes and tornadoes, flooding. I mean, it's everywhere from Texas, South Carolina, to Georgia, Mississippi. All throughout the country, our country has suffered. Here's where you and I get a chance to be a glimpse of Jesus. It is so cool to meet a homeowner who has gone to no fault of their own. Their world has been turned upside down, and you get a chance to bless them. You know, we tarp roofs and do chainsaw work, and we gut homes that flooded right after disaster with our rapid response team. And then we also look to rebuild homes with 8 Days of Hope, like we've done 12 different areas of the country. 1,800 homes, $25 million of damage. People all the time say, man, you're good. Well, we're not that good, but He is great. Be a part of something unique. 8 Days of Hope.
Learn more at 8daysofhope.com.
You're listening to Washington Watch. Evan Fowler sitting in today for Tony Perkins. We're glad to have you along. Let me give you the phone number because we want you to participate with us. It's 866-372-7234, 866-372-7234. Okay, we're going to have some fun kind of now because we're going to play a couple of audio clips from the radio station host and the representative of Planned Parenthood who kind of stirred up some trouble right here in Kansas City with respect to, and again, for those of you who just joined us, Ruth Tisdale, the Executive Director of Advice and Aid Pregnancy Centers, is here in the studio with me. We're talking about how this radio station here in Kansas City, when they came in, their sales rep and the sales rep's manager came in to visit with Ruth and said, we think our radio station would be a good fit for what you folks do. And they, you know, proceeded to put together a contract and a schedule of spots that would promote advice and aid on the air on this particular radio station. And, well, somebody from Planned Parenthood heard about it, and she got on the social media and started causing trouble. And then somehow she got on the air on this station. We think it was on the air. If not, it was at least on a podcast. And so we're going to play you the first of two cuts here from that podcast, and then we're going to explain. So what we have here is an interaction between one of the radio show co-hosts and a representative from Planned Parenthood. So cut one, Brent.
So, and they will talk about coming in for STI testing and treatment. They'll talk about coming in for pregnancy tests. I believe the ad says something about, are you scared or depressed? Are you worried about your pregnancy?
Okay, yeah, I'm on their website right now, and I clicked on their About section, and it just says, Advice and Aid Pregnancy Centers helps women and their families make an educated decision about an unplanned pregnancy. We do this by providing evidence-based medical information about parenting, adoption, and abortion. And that's right from their website.
So go one step further and click on abortion, and they'll talk about abortion risks on
okay.
that page.
Okay.
And you will see a list of lies about complications that come from abortion. We know these are lies because trusted medical voices like the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists have debunked all of these myths about what happens when a woman gets a safe, legal abortion.
Mm-hmm.
They talk about infections and blood clots and long-term medical abortion risks like future childbearing and breast cancer. These are not medically sound, evidence-based advice. This is not information that has been backed by any leading certified medical doctor. These are the lies that have been spewed by the anti-choice extremists that own and operate these crisis pregnancy centers. So Advice and Aid is just one CPC. There are many throughout the state of Missouri and Kansas. This one happens to be in Kansas. They actually sit at our front door at our Overland Park Health Center where we provide abortion services. And they organize people to come out and stand at our driveway and harass, shame, and stigmatize the patients who are coming here to seek safe, legal abortion services.
Yeah, right. My fellow anti-choice extremist, Ruth Tisdale, is sitting in the studio with me. There's so much misinformation there. And so, Ruth, what we're going to do is give you an opportunity on about 250 radio stations and the World Wide Web to do what you wanted to do with this particular radio station's audience to correct a boatload of misinformation that this Planned Parenthood representative laid out there. So I'm going to ask you a couple of specific ones, and if I miss any,
okay.
I want you to pop in there and let us know, because this is really important. You know, first of all, the poor radio host and co-host sat there listening to this, and granted, they are kind of favorable to Planned Parenthood. They lean that way for sure, but they were just sitting there, being misinformed and soaking it in like a dry sponge. So let's start with this thing where she talks about, you know, they went and looked at the Advice and Aid website, and she says, you will see a list of lies talking about abortion. So address that one first.
Well, the interesting thing is that the information that we have listed on our website actually comes from the Kansas Department of Health and Environment, and all clinics, including clinics that provide abortions, are required by the Kansas state law to have this information available to their patients. So what we have is what the state requires. So that is what the state of Kansas is letting women know all across the state that are the potential risk of an abortion.
So I guess the state of Kansas is itself an anti-choice extremist organization.
Actually, I believe a little bit further on the podcast, she actually calls that group those words.
Yeah, and I think that may be in the second cut that we're going to come to here. Well, then there's another one that I almost had to laugh at because it was so silly, where she says that she was saying that you and other pregnancy resource centers organize people to stand outside of Planned Parenthoods and harass their people as they come through. Well, we know that there are people who have various shades of pro-life persuasion who stand outside abortion clinics. Some, like 40 Days for Life, for instance, stand out and pray. It's peaceful. They have some sidewalk counselors who gently try to connect with women. Then you have people out there with nasty signs that are, you know, that shouldn't be seen by children. So there's a wide range. But do you organize those people?
I want to make sure everybody knows that, no, we are not affiliated, and we do not recruit anybody to stand on the sidewalks near Planned Parenthood to harass or shame or stigmatize anybody
yeah.
who's going into that location. Not only that, that is not what we do. That is not who we are. We don't do that to their workers. We don't do that to the women. So I want to make sure that everybody understands that that is not Advice and Aid. But I also want everybody to understand that there are times when there are people who are supporters of Planned Parenthood who also stand on the sidewalk.
Oh, really?
And so that doesn't happen very often, but there are a few times in the year where there are rallies and you have both sides of the issue on the sidewalk.
Mm-hmm.
So We definitely do not organize that group either.
Okay, we're going to play the second cut and have you comment on that as well. And then we're going to take the balance of our time for you to lay out what organizations like Advice and Aid and other pregnancy resource centers across the country do so that our listeners, if they're not familiar with the great work that you do, will be familiar with it. So, Brent, let's roll cut number two.
Yeah, I'm looking at their risks page, their abortion risks, and it's a long list of scary things that they list here.
And you'll see that link, womensrighttoknow.org. So okay. That is a state mandated link that abortion providers have to link to on our website. And it is created and endorsed by the anti-choice extremists in the state of Kansas. And they have passed a law in the state of Kansas long ago that we have to link to this and we have to give patients this kind of misinformation. And so Advice and Aid is just an extension of that. They lure women into their centers and they make you think that you're going to get, real medical advice when in fact, more often than not, you're not meeting with a medical professional and you're often given the wrong sonogram reading. They'll tell you you're farther along than you are, which could make you ineligible for certain abortion procedures.
Liar, liar, pants on fire, I think is about all I can say about that. So, Ruth, I don't know. We may not have time to get to all of those lies, but, you know, the thing she said, I'll comment on the first thing, and then there are a couple of other things in there, certainly. This whole thing about the Kansas Department of Health and Environment being an anti-choice extremist, and you had mentioned that, and I mentioned that as well in the previous section here. If you go to that, it's what is the information that women are required to go look at that's on the Kansas Department of, let me look at it, Health and Environment's website?
Well, actually, there's information about fetal development. There's information about different abortion procedures and potential risks. There's information about adoption. There's information about long-term effects of, all of these options. And I have also visited the website of ACOG, and I know that some of the side effects, potential side effects of an abortion are some of the same things that are listed on the Kansas Department of Health and Environment.
But wait, she said that none of he said there's some scary stuff here. He's referring to potential complications with abortion. He's saying there's some scary stuff here. And then she is refuting that and saying that, there's no reputable physician or organization that would endorse or agree with any of that information. But you're telling me that's not the case.
Well, there are some similarities between both sets of information. ACOG doesn't list some others, but there are some in similarities. One thing that I do want to say about this entire thing is that we do have health professionals that actually are at Advice and Aid. We have a nurse manager. We have nurse volunteers. We have licensed sonographers. We have a medical director. We have a medical advisory group made up of 10 physicians, nurses, and sonographers.
Well, that can't be right, Ruth, because she said, the Planned Parenthood lady said, that you don't have any medical people there and you're not a medical facility. And you're telling me you've got 10 physicians and a bunch of other people on a medical advisory group? What's with that?
Yes, these are the people that actually help us look at our medical services and help us determine which way do we go. Now, they are not on location in our centers, but our nurse and our nurse managers and our sonographers are. And we are giving medically evidence-based information to our patients. We wouldn't do that otherwise. That is not who we are.
And of course, I'm being facetious purposely here. You know me.
Yes.
But just to make a point that the information that was – and, we played a couple of audio clips from a radio podcast that where lots of misinformation was given out. And that – I think what she was talking about is consistent with the stuff that Planned Parenthood puts out there about pregnancy resource centers, right?
That's correct. I know that on their websites, they talk about crisis pregnancy centers and the things that we don't do and don't offer.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of wish that they really took the time to learn who we were. We do believe that life is a beautiful choice Ultimately, we hope that the women that come to our centers are making a life choice. But one of the things that I love the most about our organization is that before anybody walks out our doors, we say, if you have an abortion, you are welcome here. If you have any type of issue after an abortion decision, you are welcome here and we can help you. And the other thing, Evan, is there is no need for us to give misinformation on sonograms. We don't benefit financially from a woman's decision, whether she aborts, whether she carries, or she places for adoption. We are not receiving a penny. We are not asking for a penny. So there is no need for us to tell her that she's further along so she cannot get a particular abortion done. We have our nurses and our sonographers have been trained to do this service. Our medical director reviews all of our film. So again, I am not sure. Plus, HIPAA doesn't allow anybody to come and look into our charts. So again, I'm not really sure where this person is getting that piece of information.
It's all made up. It's all made up. And, you know, and you say HIPAA. You know what that tells me is that you're actually complying with some of the medical requirements that you know in terms of confidentiality of medical records. So you know, places that don't do medical services don't worry about HIPAA, but you do. So
we absolutely do.
Yeah.
We take confidentiality very serious.
Right. Well, you know, and I know because I've had the opportunity to work with Ruth for a couple of years now on the board of Advice and Aid. And Advice and Aid is one of how many pregnancy resource centers across the country right now?
About 2,500.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, people, most of these organizations they're in existence and they continue to operate because people like you provide the resources to do so. So, but this lady's heart, as the heart of many, many, many other pregnancy resource center directors and staff, they love what they do. It's hard work. It's hard work because we're battling this thing called abortion, which is anti-life. It's anti-God's creation. And so it's a tough battle. So at the very least, those who are listening, I would ask you to pray for Ruth and for other pregnancy resource center directors across the country, and then find out where yours is and see if you can get involved either financially, prayerfully, volunteer. They need lots of help because it's a big, big job. And they're, you know, they've got this, and Planned Parenthood is just the largest abortion provider in the country. And they get right now $500 million of taxpayer money, which we hope is going to end very soon. But these organizations. So, Ruth, I just want to say thank you for the work that you and your staff do every day.
Thank you, Evan.
Well, you know, I've got one caller online here, but we're just about ready to run out of time, and I don't want to shortchange. So, Nicholas from Texas, thank you for calling and holding. We're just going to have to wrap up. But, Ruth, so we've got maybe about a minute and a half. Anything else that you want to get out there that we haven't covered yet?
I just want to say we love women, and we believe that women are strong, and they can have a baby, and they can go to school, and they can work if they choose to, or they can stay home and take care of their children. Women are great.
Yes,
and
they are.
And we are not weak.
No.
So we are able to overcome many difficult circumstances, and I believe Advice and Aid is there to give hope to women, to let them know this is a difficult situation, but we are here to support you through this pregnancy and on, because we help them up to 2 years once
that
child is born. And again, if you have an abortion, we still love you.
That's right. And you help women who have had abortions
to
walk through the pain and the difficulty that many of them have years and years and years later. We know that because you've worked with ladies like that, haven't
you? That's right.
All right. Well, Ruth Tisdale, Executive Director of Advice and Aid Pregnancy Centers here in the Kansas City area, thank you so much for taking time out of your day to come here and tell us this story. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, Evan.
Well, this is Evan Fowler sitting in today for Tony Perkins. Thanks for listening to this edition of Washington Watch. We will be back. I think I'm back next Friday for the next couple of Fridays, so looking forward to doing that. So thanks very much for listening today.
For more information on anything you heard today, or if you'd like to find out how you can support the ongoing efforts of the Family Research Council, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our new watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.